Colossians chapter 4 this morning. Colossians chapter 4. But, 3 months ago, the man who was my pastor for about 17 years passed away. This was his life verse. I was reminded about that at the funeral there back in November. And I was also reminded of a lesson that he taught many times to us growing up, both to the boys in the Christian school as well as to our church. And based off Colossians 4:2, so I will read that verse and then I'll share that lesson with you today. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So our lesson today, for one, I'll forewarn you, keep your Bibles handy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be going throughout those today. But I'd like to give you this lesson, the prayer life of Jesus. And I'd like to look at when did Jesus pray? We'll look at 9 times that Jesus prayed. How did Jesus pray? We'll look at 6 ways that Jesus prayed. For whom did Jesus pray? We'll look at 4 groups of people that Jesus prayed for. And then conclusion, I'll look at some verses that will answer the question, what if I do not pray? And then close with 4 positive results if I do pray. So this is as simple of a lesson as has ever been given, I'm sure. And it's a Bible study looking at Jesus' life. When did he pray? How did he pray? For whom did he pray? And hopefully the life of Jesus will be a help and an encouragement to us in our prayer life. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look into your word. We thank you also, Lord, for not just the teaching that you gave us, but the example that you set for us. And in our world today that seems to be so busy and time is so eaten up with the affairs of this life, I pray, Lord, we'd always be reminded to go back to the very basic aspect, the very basic action of the Christian life, which is prayer. And Lord, be encouraged and challenged by the example that you set for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, to the book of Luke, chapter 3, Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. So the first point I'd like to look at this morning is, when did Jesus pray? When did Jesus pray? First thing, the first time that we find here is in Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. So the first time Jesus prayed was at the very start of his ministry. When he was baptized, we find Jesus praying. The second time we find Jesus praying is in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Let's turn there. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Jesus prayed, first of all, at the start of his ministry. The second time that we see Jesus praying in verse 35 is this, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. The second time that we see Jesus praying is in the morning. Mark 1:35 might just sum up a perfect picture, very simple, about what a good, solid, devotional life for a Christian would look like. And that's in the morning, in a solitary place, praying. And when we see Jesus doing that, we ought to ask ourselves, how do we measure up to that? Getting up, getting into a solitary place, and praying. The third time that we see Jesus praying, we find in Mark 6:46. Let's look there. Mark 6:46. This has been a long day. Great miracle has been done just before this. And verse 44, we see 5,000 men were fed. That's a task in and of itself. It was difficult Friday night feeding, 700 women. But 5,000 men plus the women being fed by Jesus. He didn't have to set up extra tables either. He just made it happen. Long day. And we see what happens here in verse 45. Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. Verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So Jesus here prays in the evening. It had been a long day. He'd been dealing with a lot of people. He'd been dealing with a lot of pressure, trials, difficulties. And his way to end that difficult, trying day was to go to his Father in prayer. It's easy to end a day where we've had difficulties and problems and pressures to end our day with, I just need to kick back, relax, and be entertained. But here Jesus took that long day and ended it by going to the Lord in prayer, his Father in prayer. Let's look at Luke 6:12, the fourth way or the fourth time that we see Jesus praying is Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke 6:12. And verse 11, we'll look at that. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. In verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So at this very difficult time in his life, we find Jesus actually praying all night. I don't know that he went there necessarily saying, I'm going to pray all night, but it says he went to a mountain to pray, and he ended up praying all night long. So he prayed all night at times. And then look at the verses here just following, and we might find out why it was so important that he prayed all night long, because verse 13, and our fifth point here, is that Jesus prayed before important decisions. And in verse 13, we find out what important decision caused him to pray all night the night before, and that's when he called his 12 disciples. Very important decision, the men that would go with him all the way through his ministry, the men that would take the gospel to all the world after he went ascended back to heaven. And so because it was such an important decision, we find him praying all night in prayer before important decisions. Number six. The sixth time that Jesus prayed is he prayed during the what we would call the good times. Let's look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. He prayed during the good times. Jesus is very popular here at this miracle, verse 15. But so much the more there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. His fame was coming, very popular. People wanted to be around him. During the good times is maybe the time it's easiest to, for us to neglect prayer or to forget prayer because everything seems to be going okay and we seem to have it together and things are falling into place. It's easy to neglect prayer at that time, but that's a time where Jesus specifically left the crowd, left the fame, left the popular area, and went out and prayed. We see that again in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, same thing. Let's look there, Luke 9, 28. Luke 9, 28. And here, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up to a mountain to pray. And this is the time of the transfiguration. These were good times. Jesus got away and prayed. Number seven, the seventh time that we find Jesus praying is in Luke 22:41. Luke 22:41. We get near the end of the Gospels, and of course it comes near the end of Christ's life. So in Luke 22:41, we find this, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. So our point here, our seventh point, is that Jesus prayed before intense trials in his life. He knew what was going to come. He knew what the scripture said. And rather than going that filled with worry and care and uncertainty, he knew that the trial, obviously the biggest trial of his life, was ahead. And he went to the Lord in prayer before that. And then in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, let's look there, Mark 15, 34, we'll see number 8, that Jesus prayed during the intense trials. And again, this trial is the trial of the cross. And this is one of Jesus' prayers on the cross, Mark 15, 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? During the intense trial, during the trial, not hardened to it, not angry about it, praying to his God during the trial. And then lastly, with regard to when Jesus prayed, let's look at Luke 23, 46. Luke 23, 46. This is the end of Jesus' life, just before his death, there on the cross. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He prayed at the close of his life. Of course, he'll be resurrected from the dead, but at the very close of his life, the last words out of Jesus' mouth were a prayer to his Father. So there's 9 times when Jesus prayed. Keep your Bibles handy. Second point, how did Jesus pray? How did he pray? 6 ways. Luke 22:44, right there. Let's look, number 1. Luke 22:44, and let's notice here that Jesus, number 1, prayed fervently. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This picture, just the intensity, the fervency that we picture at that point in Jesus' life. Praying fervently. The word fervent has to do with heat or fire. His prayer was serious. It was fervent. Secondly, Luke 6:12. Let's look at Luke 6:12 and see that Jesus prayed persistently. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. We've looked at this verse. Persistently, this has to do with the fact that he started to pray, and he just continued to pray as long as he needed to, and he prayed all night long. So he prayed persistently. Thirdly, how did Jesus pray? Matthew 14, 19. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus prayed thankfully. Matthew 14, 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took up the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. He prayed thankfully. For something so basic as bread, Jesus was there when the world was created. Yet his example to us is in the very basics of life, which is our food. He gave thanks to God for it. It showed his heart attitude. Fourthly, Luke chapter 9 and verse 18. We're going to have you ready for the sword drill by the time this lesson's done, at least for the Gospels. So if we have a sword drill today, I think everybody in this class will be winning it. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. We see this, and it came to pass as he was alone praying. Jesus modeled and gave us an example of private prayer. He prayed privately. Fourthly, number 5, 2 more here. Number 5, Luke 22:31. How did Jesus pray? Luke 22:31. We see also that Jesus prayed patiently. Luke 22 verse 31, The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He prayed patiently. He prayed patiently for Simon. Simon is Simon Peter, right? The man who had the great ups, but also had the great downs. But what was consistent in Simon Peter's life? Jesus' prayer for him. He prayed for him throughout the course of those 3 years. And just after this, Jesus certainly knew that Peter was going to deny him. But Jesus went back and found Peter right by the seashore and asked him, do you love me? Why did Jesus go back and find Peter after Peter had done that? Because he'd been praying for him. And we're interested in what we pray for. We're not interested in what we don't pray for. And if we pray for people, that gives us a burden, compassion for people. We become interested in them and we want to see them do well. And we're willing to go speak to them and help them when they're in a trial. And we're willing to be a true friend to them, a spiritual friend. So because Jesus prayed for Peter, he went and found Peter. He prayed patiently. I can only imagine that Peter's ups and downs would be frustrating. Do you know anybody who's your friend or you know and they have such ups and downs and you get frustrated with them? Probably not, right? I think we're all like that. I think we're like that. But Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. He prayed patiently for Peter just like he prays patiently for you and me and all of our ups and downs of this life too. He prayed patiently. And then number six here is just a reference to the fact that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed humbly. He prayed on his, he was on his face before the Lord. For whom did Jesus pray? Number three, for whom did Jesus pray? Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. I don't think this is put on Scripture on purpose. Obviously, everything in Scripture is on purpose. Matthew 19:13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. Disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He laid his hands on them, I think understood as well. He prayed and departed thence. Jesus prayed for little children, because he knew that those little children would grow up one day and they'd be big children. And he wanted them to know that Jesus cared for them. One reason why we have children's ministries is because Jesus gave us an example. He prayed for little children. Secondly, second group, person that Jesus prayed for, we find in John chapter 17 and verse 1. John 17, 1. Getting near again the end of Jesus' life here. John 17, 1 and also verse 5. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me. Jesus prayed not only for little children, he prayed for himself. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. That's his disciples. And then he prayed, verse 20 in John 17, neither pray I for these alone, the disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, those which shall believe on him, guess who that includes? That includes us. So this is near the end of the Lord's life. He prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples. And rather than thinking only about the trial that he was about to face, which was the cross, he's praying for you and I at that time. So that's for whom Jesus prayed. Little children, himself, the disciples, and us. A couple more points here, and then we'll be done. Fourthly, what if I do not pray? What if I do not pray? Let's look at Luke 18:1. We'll look at three things here. What if I do not pray? Luke 18 and verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So first off, what if I do not pray? I'm directly disobeying God. I'm just in direct disobedience to God if I don't pray. It shouldn't be just oops, or oh maybe yeah. No, it's direct disobedience to the Lord. If we think of it like that, it should motivate us to pray. And then so I'm directly disobeying God. Secondly, let's look at Mark 14:38. If I do not pray, I am welcoming the temptation of the devil. Mark 14:38. This verse comes up a lot in the Lord as he's teaching on prayer. Mark 14:38, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Lest ye enter into temptation. Watch and pray. How much temptation and how much sin can be pushed away from us if we are watching and praying through the course of our life. When we don't pray, we put ourselves in a position to let the devil just have at us. Whereas if we are praying, our heart's different, our mind's different. We're minding the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. We actually have a buffer between us and that temptation because we have a protection, because we've prayed. And we pray, prayer changes us. Prayer changes our outlook. Prayer changes our desires. Not hungry for the flesh, not hungry for the world. We're hungry and thirsting after righteousness. And God says, if that's the place where we're at, we will be filled. And so praying keeps us further away from temptation. All men are going to be tempted. The Bible says everyone is going to be tempted. But prayer is going to give us so much more protection from entering into the temptation, actually sinning. Why? Because verse 38, the spirit's truly ready, but the flesh is weak. When we don't pray, our flesh grows stronger. When we do pray, our flesh, our spirit goes stronger. So we are welcoming the temptation of the devil when we don't pray. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Thirdly here, if I do not pray, I'm forfeiting God's power. And here is the account of those 120 believers praying after the Lord has ascended to heaven. They're praying for 10 days. And their prayer here was for this power, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, power to witness. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So when I don't pray, I'm forfeiting God's power. What are some godly results of praying as Jesus prayed? What are some godly results if we pray as Jesus prayed? First, I begin to see my daily life as God sees it. I remember God is omniscient. He sees it all. Secondly, I begin to see people as God sees them. They're either lost or they're saved, and I have a compassion for man's fellow workers, friends, family's eternal state if I pray. I begin to see myself as God sees me. That's maybe the best, one of the main benefits for prayers. We can be honest with ourselves. We're easily deceived. Remember the song, "It's Me Standing in the Need of Prayer"? When we pray, we find that it's ourselves there standing in the need of prayer. And then I would say fourth godly result is that we begin to know and love God more. And that's just going to provide for us a wonderful Christian life. When we know and love God, we're praying, then, in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the difficulties, I know God and love God and know that He'll carry me through. Maybe you have had a difficult time being consistent with your prayer life. So I'm just going to recommend, he's not even here and didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to recommend a book in our bookstore called My Time with God. It's been in there for a little while. Mr. Olson wrote this. It's very simple. It's not a book that says what you have to read from Scripture or what you have to pray about, but what it does is gives you a spot each day. Very simple. Just to put the date, the passage of Scripture that you read, and something that the Lord spoke to you about from that daily reading. But at the front of the book here, there's a very simple page that says instructions for spending time with God. And he gives 6 points here. First, start with a short prayer. Secondly, read your Bible and think about it. Thirdly, write down God's message to you from that day. Fourth, he talks about one memory verse a week. Could just use the Sunday school class memory verse. Number five, have some time for prayer. And in the book, he gives different things you can fill in, like who in your family do you need to pray for? So much easier and better if what we need to pray for is on a prayer list, if it's written down. Very simple, yet just to do it is important. So family and personal requests, friends, people you know that need to be saved. So as you come with your Bible, you can look at that prayer list and be reminded of health, church leaders, church ministries, missionaries, government leaders, other things. And then lastly here, number six, he says, record any blessings or answers to prayer in the blessings and answered prayer section. So back here, starting on page 148, is a place to record definite answers to prayer. And I'll say that's one thing I had been lax doing. But I got this and I said, you know what? I need to start writing some of these things down, because just a few weeks ago, it seemed like we were going to have a very difficult time being able to run our church buses with what requirements became mandated, and they became mandated like immediately. Can we even get a license plate for the bus? And what did we do? I know we did in our Saturday night prayer group, and what we did in the morning with our family, prayed that, Lord, we don't know how you're going to answer this. Will you please make a way for us to be able to not have to stop running the buses because of this issue with the license? Well, what happened? It was almost seemed impossible for a while. Now we look back, God answered it, and the buses are running. We're moving along. We have a little bit of extra time to get this all done. I need to write that down, because I want to look back and say, we have another mountain, another problem. Is the Lord going to be able to answer that prayer? Well, he answered the prayer about the buses. That was a huge burden, and he came through and answered that. Thank you, Lord, for that. I want to remember that. We prayed for Pat Reamer, right? I want to write that down. We prayed for a couple girls from our bus to be able to go to yesterday's activity in Iowa. We prayed for a couple weeks. We didn't think they'd be able to. Our family prayed for that. We prayed for it in the Saturday night prayer group. We named their names. Two good girls from the bus. We want them to be able to get to this teen youth rally in Iowa, and the Lord can, you know, stir their heart and get them around good kids. And it came till Friday, and they came to the mother-daughter bank with their mom, and they still still wasn't sure that they were going to be able to go. Friday at the table at the banquet, we're talking with them. Oh, trust me, they'll be okay. Mr. Ramos is with them. He's a nice guy. He'll take care of them. I don't know. They've never stayed anywhere but my house, ever. But he's a nice guy. He'll take care of them. Are you promise me? Yes, they'll be. So after the banquet, it was a long banquet. It was a good banquet. Taking them home to La Porte, 10:30. in the house, packing their bags up, brought them back, and got to stay Friday night with us and get up at 4 whatever o'clock Saturday morning, went to Iowa for the youth rally, and came back, got back to the house at 11:30 last night, got up this morning, went on the bus, and would not stop talking about the wonderful time that they had, not only the fun getting to meet each other, but the good preaching that they heard. First time ever going to a youth rally for those two girls. You know what? I wrote that down. Thankful that these two girls got to go to the Iowa youth rally because we didn't know. We didn't know. It was not guaranteed. It wasn't for sure. Lord answered that prayer. We prayed for a number of people to come to the mother-daughter banquet from the bus routes. And the Lord really blessed that from the Heights and from LaPorte, and good response from the moms yesterday talking about the message of Mrs. Morrow and how it spoke to them and got through to them, and I'm sure that it did. To have the parents talking after the banquet, not about necessarily the food, which I'm sure is good, but to talk about what happened in here. That's really what we want. That's what we're really praying for, and the Lord answered that prayer. So this has been a big help, and maybe you do it. Maybe I'm just the Johnny come lately to being a little bit more disciplined with recording prayer answers to prayer, but I just really recommend the My Time with God book. Just gives a nice structure. You can look back and say, yep, well, I was with the Lord every day last week, and here's some things that he told me. And then build up a month. I was with the Lord every day last month, and here's some things that he showed me. And look at those answers to prayer. Wow, I can't believe how many that there are over the course of the year. So anyway, I hope that's encouragement to you. Jesus gave us the example about how to pray, who to pray for, when to pray, and certainly there's great blessings if we follow his example. Thank you, Lord.